Man, George, good to be bad tour, 45 years of rock, September 14th. You're coming to the Wagner Noel Performing Arts Center, and everybody is super excited to have you back. 45 years of rock, man, congratulations. That means something. That means you got a legacy that's been music that lasted for 45 years. That's incredible.
Hey, man, it's incredible to still be standing and breathing 45 years. let alone to still make a living in this business. To be around for 45 years is to anybody is a testament to whatever. But the entertainment business, dare I say it, without wearing myself out, patting myself on the back, but the entertainment business is the toughest business in the world to keep your head above water. To stay in it, but you got to have help. Radio support is probably number one, right up there, number one with fan support. You can't do it alone. A car can't run unless all the elements, all the components on the automobile are running on all the cylinders.
One thing I'm curious about, you're from Delaware, you think about music scenes, there's more, famous music scenes. And I'm curious, what was that scene like? What was going on besides you getting going here in the Delaware music scene for those who may not have ever, had a clue about the fact that they had a music scene?
Well, all of us cats, starting out my age, a couple of years older than me and one or two years younger. It's a very small, state to begin with, Big Bad John. So it was just a small people of, grew their hair long, and, our life was music, 66, 67, 68, around that time, our whole world, it was all guys. Our whole world was music, music, music. It was all we talked. We were totally consumed by the world of music. We didn't talk about anything else. We didn't do anything else. We didn't talk about, there was no sports. We didn't talk about no sports, no girls, no politics, nothing. And the whole world of music, our life, that was what it was about. That was our universe. Music, music, music. It was incredible. The center of that universe was the Beatles. There was nothing else. No one discussed anything, not cars, not frisbees or swimming or nothing. I mean, nothing, absolutely nothing. You'd run into somebody with long hair and immediately you'd say, did you hear the new single by The Loving Spoonful? Did you hear the new single by Steppenwolf? I remember seeing Lothar and the Hand People on a bandstand, and they're a great band, and you stop the show in the middle of the show to tell us that they just heard the new Beatles single on the radio.
Oh, wow.
And their band themselves is stopping the show. Hey, the Beatles got a new single out called I Am the Walrus. And that was the whole world. Yeah, it was a small bunch of people. We'd go to Philadelphia, and we'd see any show that went there. They were all great. One weekend, we saw the Mothers of Invention. Then the next night, we went to see The Who open up for Herman Sherman.
Wow.
Yeah, right.
Wow.
Exactly. And we went to see the Mothers of Invention, not Frank Zappa in the Mothers of Invention, the Mothers of Invention.
That's amazing.
So they weren't called Jimi Hendrix. They were called the Jimi Hendrix Experience.
Wow.
So, yeah, it was unbelievable. I would see the same people at every show. The same people would be there. So it was a tiny unit of people from Wilmington, Delaware, and Philadelphia. A brotherhood and sorority there, a fraternity, that you knew you were okay. There was no violence, in other words. It was a different world.
Yeah, how can we get that back, George?
We can't. And we all lived it. I was all part of that. That was all we did.
I'm really wanted to ask you about and kind of flash forwarding a little bit, a few more years ahead to 1981, opening up for the Rolling Stones. What was that like?
I don't know. I don't know if you celebrate Christmas or Hanukkah or whatever you do. Let's put together the first day off of school, your birthday, Christmas morning, Hanukkah, and the best sex you ever had. Put all that together, and it was 10 times that good.
Oh my gosh!
You understand? We already had a gold record under our belt. You know, we had three albums out at the time.
Right.
You know, moving on over in Bourbon, Scotch, and Beer, we're already heavy on, you know, FM radio at the time. So, no, we were rolling right along. And I said, I think we would fit right in with this. And the one thing was awesome about working with the Rolling Stones, they taught us, that they taught me, and they got it in my head, and Mr. Bill Graham, especially the Stones, put it into my head, said, listen, you're not the opening act. You're part of the bill.
Oh, that's great.
Such as Robert Duvall is not a supporting actor. He's an actor in the movie. So they got that in my mind day after day. You're not the opening act. You're part of the bill. You're part of the show, a key ingredient of the show.
And that really gives you a different mindset.
Yeah, absolutely. And I said, well, if we weren't part of the show, why would we be on the show? So we were doing a show in, I won't say where, because it wouldn't be nice, and the people were doing the news, and they were covering the Stones, and they had it on this, and I was watching the news, and they had the Stones showing them on TV, coming on stage, and they said, and after two warm-up acts, here come the Stones, and I said, George Thorogood and the band Heart are not warm-up acts. I mean, Heart was unbelievable that day. I was there. I saw them. Ann Wilson did a version of Chain of Fools. This just would have blown your eyebrows off.
Wow.
Okay?
I bet.
They were not a warm-up act. They were a dynamite act. And I said, lady, you got it wrong. They're not warm-up acts. And if Bill Graham would have been there, he would have stormed into the studio and set that lady straight.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And that's what I got from the Stones, and I never forgot that. You know, you're not an opening act, believe me. You're part of the show.
Well, that's huge. I mean, it's really huge. So whose idea was it for this 50-50 tour?
Not mine, believe me.
50 shows in 50 states. When number 50 is over with, geez, I mean, you got to be just going, where can I rest for a month?
No, the day it was over, we had to fly right to Arizona and play with the Stones again.
Oh, sure.
Hey, listen, man, we did half a dozen shows with the Rolling Stones and Heart and Journey and Jay Giles and Bill Graham. Mr. Bill Graham said, well, come on, we got to do some more shows. And he said, no, we got this 50-50 tour. Is lined up, and he wanted us to go to Madison Square Garden and play with the Rolling Stones, and he said he would buy out all the shows of the 50-50 tour.
Wow.
I like that.
Wow.
And to have us go and do the Stones things, I said, we can't do that, and he looked at me like I was out of my mind. you know, this just happens all the time.
Well, so not too long after that, I guess, is the song that, I mean, it has spanned decades. It spans age groups. It comes on the radio today, and I don't care how old you are, you crank it up. You probably know all the words. You just go nuts, and that's Bad to the Bone. A lot of people who have a song like that, they have a different, you know, some have a different relationship with that type of a song. Some may get tired of it. Some may not like it. Some may love it. Where are you with Bad to the Bone in 2022?
I had a guy interview me once years ago, and he said, what does it feel like to be a one-hit wonder? And I said, better than being a no-hit wonder.
Does it still give you the same excitement every night when you play it?
As long as it gives the audience an excitement. That's the key. When we first started this thing, Jeff Simon and I, we've never, our entire song list and our records that we made, the songs were never about us. The songs are always about what will appeal. Everybody does this. I've never been a songwriter or someone who selected material about myself. I've always done things that, what will appeal to people? What will they go for? And once we got rolling, we will say, what will we do that our fans will like? Well, what can we do to sustain the fan following we already have? It's like opening a restaurant and saying, what can we put on the menu that will keep the people coming back to the restaurant? So we have always done that. And not never gave it a second thought. Like, yeah, I'm not one of these kind of people, angst-ridden artists. You know, I lost my best friend in a fishing accident when I was 8, so I wrote a song about it. Now, pain I keep to myself, pleasure I share with the world.
Oh, I love that.
So all these songs were totally for the public, for our fans. So yeah. if the long as the audience is getting pleasure out of it, that's the whole purpose of doing it.
Once you start spanning all these decades and tastes change and, you know, sometimes this is palatable, sometimes, oh, we don't like this anymore, and to be able to kind of navigate those, you know, those waters all these years is pretty incredible. And we look forward to seeing you September 14th, Wednesday night at the Wagner Noel, bringing 45 years of rock. It's going to be a heck of a great show. George, man, thanks for spending time. I know it's valuable, and I really appreciate you spending some time today.
Every morning at the mine, you see him arrive. Big fan, John.
I love it. I'm gonna keep that for a long time, George.
Our pleasure. Bye-bye.